Public Broadcasting Network.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. Is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. Grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive.
Country Welcome to the show, survive. Folks. Here we are on Sunday. You're tuned into the Trump Phenomenon on June 3rd, 2018. And we'll bring you up to date as of June 3rd in the happenings of the Trump phenomenon, a lot to report, and an especially spectacular development yesterday, the Jeanine Pirro show. I will bring you some of the audio from that Saturday program, the top-rated cable show on all of cable television. And Fox is just sweeping the field, the top show on Saturday, Jeanine Pirro, the chop show. The top show on Sunday, Mark Levin. The top show Monday through Friday, Sean Hannity. The number two show, Laura Ingraham. And I don't know if the exact order here. Number three, Tucker Carlson. I mean, it's just across the board. America and American patriots are watching Fox. They're not watching CNN, which is collapsing. It's hemorrhaging badly. Let's hope they go broke. Let's hope that George Soros has to spend his billions trying to keep the carcass of CNN afloat. If you would like to join me today, I'm solo right now, at 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. I'd be most happy to take your calls. Let me get the call-in board up here. There it is. And especially if you've never called in before, give it a try. If you've never called a radio show before, it's fun. It's easy. It's safe to do. And by the way, that's one aspect of this show that I try to bring you as something I bring to the production here, is that you're never going to be embarrassed by the fact that you were on the Kelso show. I'm never. That's kind of one of the points of my effort in the movement, is I am trying to make the point that we missed the boat when parts of this movement went to the fringe. We made a colossal blunder. Any kind of a fringe that you would ever be embarrassed to be associated with, or to have your children or your family associated with, that is the number one blunder of the patriot movement. And again, I'm being kind of vague here. I hate to name people. I hate to name names in this regard, because so many of the people that I'm talking about are alive right now. And so many of them are acquaintances of mine. So I don't like to point fingers at people. But let's see. Let me sketch it out to you this way. This might even be the this is a working title, actually, for me for the book that I'm going to release. It should have been Lindbergh. It should have been Lindbergh. And what do I mean by that? I mean that when America needed a pro-white movement, and the world, the white world needed a pro-white movement, it should have been Lindbergh. It could have been Lindbergh, and it would have been Lindbergh if a couple of things had happened differently. And what I mean by that is that to rescue the white race, to rescue our white people, leadership was needed. It was inspirational, that would attract the mass of our people. And this, I'm connecting this with the point, I'll never embarrass you on this show. I'll never do anything goofy. I'll never bring an association to you that you go, oh, no, God, I was on his show. That's the guy who did this, that, and the other. No. I will bring you red, white, and blue, mom and pop, flag-waving, red-blooded Americanism. Nothing that would ever possibly be an embarrassment to you. Nothing that would ever be on a fringe. Nothing that would ever could ever be called or thought of as being kooky or hateful even or unhinged. Just straight up red, white, and blue, red-blooded, mom and pop, tradition of your ancestors' patriotism. Well, there was a time in the 20th century when we needed a pro-white movement. And there was a man who could have led it, who was leading it, actually, Charles Lindbergh. In 1939, his article, which I hand out to people wherever I go, I get collector's item copies of this, and I pay good money for them, and I just give them to people, key people. I'm trying to let key people clue them in. These are smart people, but they didn't get it. In November of 1939, Lindbergh penned an article entitled "Aviation Geography and Race," and he put it all right there: the threat to the existence of our race, our people, our civilization. The very same thing that Donald Trump is talking about as he talks about the fact that we have rediscovered our identity. What a phrase! We're here to defend Western civilization. What a phrase! We write symphonies. Donald Trump is—it's as if he's getting messages from Charles Lindbergh, and he's almost a reappearance of Lindbergh in many ways. But anyway, Lindbergh did not lead that. He was the leader. In 1940 and 1941, there was a thing in America called the America First Movement. Now, what is Donald Trump's slogan? America First. Gee, that's the same slogan, isn't it? Funny thing. Lindbergh was the leader of the America First movement. He was the number one speaker. He was the guy who got crowds, packed crowds at Soldier Field in Chicago, at Madison Square Garden in New York, everywhere he went, the capacity crowd, tens of thousands of people out in the street who couldn't be fit in, crowds roaring their approval to Charles Lindbergh. And he was propounding red-blooded, flag-waving, preserve our heritage, Americanism, American patriotism. And under that heading, hey, let's not go off and kill each other. Let us white folks, let's not get into another war like World War I. Let's not get into a following war, which will be much, much worse than World War I, because the killing technology had many times multiplied since the years of the carbine rifle, the main weapon of World War I, into the aircraft, and Lindbergh was the world's greatest authority on this, the aircraft, the bomb load, the submarine, the aircraft carrier, the devastating means of destruction that had been developed after World War I. Let's not get into a war among ourselves. I'll go grab this article in a bit now, and I'll refer back to it. So you're hearing from the source. But this is the whole point of my work in the Patriot cause. This is why I do this. If I don't, without this, I don't really have a point to my work at all. The Lindbergh tried to rescue us in 1940 and 41. It didn't work. He didn't succeed well enough. And what he was trying to avert was World War II as a leader of the America First Movement. And that didn't happen. He came close. There were, I believe, the total maximum number of people in the America First Movement was 800,000. This was at a time when America's population was less than half of what it is now. I think on the order of 150 million people in 1941. 800,000 members. That would be 1.6 million today. That would be on the order of magnitude of the membership of the NRA. So imagine something as big as the NRA with Charles Lindbergh as the leader of it. And rallies, the NRA can't stage rallies with 40,000 people in attendance screaming and roaring. Donald Trump can. Donald Trump does get exactly that kind of crowd. He gets exactly the kind of response. He has the people spellbound just as Lindbergh did in 1941. So what happened? What happened? What happened was World War II. What happened was Hitler. And I will be saying this till I turn blue in the face. I challenge anybody to debate me on the point. And I'll put this out there to the audience. If anybody wants to debate me on any point, part of what I'm saying, I would love to debate you on the air. And because this is child's play to prove what I'm contending. Did Adolf Hitler start World War II? You bet. Anybody out there that's giving you a different theory that Adolf Hitler didn't start World War II, that is so easy to defeat. I relish the opportunity. Was that the most destructive war in the history of the white race, to the white race? Yes, it was. Could anyone with average intelligence have anticipated or perceived that that would be the outcome of starting a world war among white nations? And it wasn't a war among just all the nations of the world. It was especially a war among white nations, pitting Germans against French, against Russians, against English, against Americans, against Scandinavians, against Italians, against Poles. Most destructive event in the history of the white race. Well, that was a defeat for, I said it should have been Charles Lindbergh, but for World War II, it would have been Charles Lindbergh. He would have led a movement to save our people, to prevent an immigration invasion, which had not occurred in 1939 when he wrote this article that I'll cite a little bit later in the show. An invasion that had not occurred even in the slightest degree in 1941 when he was leader of the America First Committee. I mean, nothing. No, there had been no immigration invasion at all of any kind, anywhere, in any white nation. But Lindbergh saw it coming, and Lindbergh knew it needed to be averted. And he especially knew that World War II needed to be averted. And if World War II happened, it might be the end of our civilization. And indeed, depending on how the Trump phenomenon resolves itself, the success or failure of the Trump phenomenon, it may be the end of Western civilization. It actually might be the end, possibly. At least, certainly the end of it as we've known it. It might become a very small part of the world, off in a corner, rather than the central fact of world history, which it's been for a couple of thousand years. Anyway, now let's get to our movement and so on. Hitler was the train wreck. A war pitting the white race against itself. Now, after the war, Lindbergh was still around. Lindbergh died. Let me try to remember. I think he died on August 26th. Was it August 26th, 1974? He was 72 years old. Died too young. I'll be 70 in 5 days. So I'm kind of getting right up there myself, the age of Lindbergh's last days. Lindbergh was around after the war. He could have led the movement after the war. One of the reasons he didn't was that the war was a crushing defeat for Lindbergh and people like Lindbergh, who thought as Lindbergh thought. It was a crushing defeat for them. And I won't get into the many ways in which that happened. But here's what happened in the history of the white nationalist movement. Instead of Charles Lindbergh leading such a movement, The guy who emerged was a guy named George Lincoln Rockwell. What? Talk about a train wreck, World War II being a train wreck. Oh, my God. Is Lincoln Rockwell a train wreck? And a bunch of the people who then went on to lead the white nationalist movement were disciples of Lincoln Rockwell. Some of them admitting it openly. Some of them not admitting it openly. But they were disciples of Lincoln Rockwell. Now, if you had to do, if you wanted to sell, well, let's see, let's put it this way. The survival of the white race is the product. It's the mission, the assignment that all of us people, talking people like me, radio people, writing people, book writers, that's what we had to sell. We have to sell to our own people the idea that we're beautiful, that we're valuable, and that we must preserve ourselves. That's the idea we had to sell. Now, in sales, you can have a really good sales campaign, and you can have one that really stinks, that's guaranteed to fail. Well, let me tell you, folks, the sales campaign that was launched to save the white race after World War II is the lousiest sales campaign ever devised in the history. You know, in a sales campaign, you know, McDonald's has Ronald McDonald, and what are some of the other mascots of various companies? Hotel Six has, or what's that guy that he'll leave the light on for you? Who did the white nationalist movement pick as their mascot after World War II? If you could have picked from the billions of people alive or who had ever lived, the worst conceivable mascot, it would be Adolf Hitler. No, that's who they picked. Adolf Hitler. What an act of stupidity. Another, if you wanted to also have, like, come up with the most toxic sales program you could, one that would turn away as many white people as you possibly could. Well, mascot Hitler, you're going to turn away 99% of white people. They're not going to buy your product. They're not going to come into your stores. They're not going to want their daughters to be anywhere near you. Then also, how about bring the Ku Klux Klan in? Bring that in. Wow. Again, stupid. And then another thing, come out with a third part of your sales pitch, which is hating Jews. Just a kind of an unhinged hatred of Jews. Well, those three things. Hating anybody that's not white, which would be a Klan kind of idea. Hating anybody that's Jewish, and loving Hitler. With those three losing ideas, you have a guaranteed total failure. You could have predicted it before you ever started. As you looked at your, what do they say, your prospectus on your sales campaign back in 1959 when Lincoln Rockwell had the brilliant, stupid idea of sticking a swastika flag in his living room and proclaiming the birth of the American Nazi Party and white power. You could have predicted that. How many years has this been now? This is not, this is 60, 41 plus 18, 59 years later. Could you predict that all of that would be an utter failure every single day, every single moment of its existence as a sales campaign? Could you predict that that program would never attract anything, any significant number of white people? Could you predict it would never attract the winners of the white race? Could you predict that that program would attract a very small number of people and they would be generally losers? Could you have predicted all of that to a certainty back in 1959? Yes, you could have. That would be a very easy prediction to make. Well, it's not a prediction anymore. Here we are in 2018, and it's happened now. And our situation is far more desperate than it was back in 59 when it should have been Lindbergh, not Rockwell. It should have been Lindbergh. I'll expand on that right after the break. Maybe take some calls. Maybe have a little debate with some people that might disagree with me. Get ready. We'll be back in a moment.
The best of the free life is still yet to come. good times ain't over for good.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and good buy. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We're back, folks. And waxing a little bit philosophical in today's edition of the Trump Phenomenon, I have in my hand here the November 1939 edition of Reader's Digest, the original. This is a collector's item, and I've collected many over the years and given them out to key people who I thought didn't get it. Didn't get it. The point that Lindbergh was making in 1939, and did not get it that it should have been Lindbergh, not Rockwell. But it's taken me 15 years at the top. For 15 years, I've been in various positions at the top of the white nationalist movement, and I finally got it thoroughly, fully, conclusively. That the white nationalist movement missed the boat. And it started missing the boat back in 1959. You could pick some other year if you wanted to, but the arrival of Lincoln Rockwell, followed by a fleet of his followers, who then basically took control of white nationalism and have continued in that role ever since. This is embarrassing to talk about. If there's some of you out there who are unaware of a lot of this, you may think, what the heck is Kelso talking about? There aren't people so dumb that they actually admire Adolf Hitler. Are there people that dumb anywhere? Well, yes, that's an embarrassing question. I was never one of those people. And it's been quite an eye-opener for me to realize that there is a very small population of people that really admire Adolf Hitler. It's a very small population, but sad to say, instead of Charles Lindbergh being the founder, as he should have been, and, you know, you can pick another person, another great man, but I just use Lindbergh because he was the best choice. He was the obvious leader, the most popular man on Earth in the 1930s. By Gallup poll, the most popular man on Earth, more popular than the Pope, more popular than the president, and truly a great man. And he had a complete understanding of what I'm talking about, the critical nature of the survival of our people, the white people, and the critical nature of genetics, that we are in fact this genetic miracle. But in any event, let's connect this with Donald Trump. Donald Trump is like a latter-day appearance of Charles Lindbergh. There's so many parallels between the two men. But the sad thing that's occurred is that the appearance of Lindbergh in 1939 was 79 years ago, and Donald Trump is trying to pull this thing out of the fire in the year 2018. And we'll get to that. We'll talk. We'll go to an update on the Trump phenomenon, and we'll especially go to that Jeanine Pirro show yesterday where, oh my gosh, is it heating up. This is the showdown at high noon at the OK Corral. this is a Donnybrook. This is Waterloo. It all rolled into one big contest. And the left is panicked. They are panicked. But anyway, let me go back to the narrative of the story. If Lindbergh had been the progenitor I'm omitting a key point here. Why couldn't this have happened? What was preventing a guy like Lindbergh from becoming the leader of a pro-white movement? Well, it was the existence of a Nazi so-called pro-white movement prevented a red-blooded American pro-white movement from ever emerging. That movement that was trying to sell three toxic elements of hating other races, hating Jews, and loving Hitler drove normal white people away. It made participating in a pro-white movement toxic. It destroyed the brand. It scared away, drove away the good people that Lindbergh would have recruited to a pro-white movement. And it did this in an insidious way, year in, year out, drip by drip by drip, day by day, driving the best people away and attracting the worst. What a train wreck. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited. So take a breath, head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When I was a little boy, Mama said to me,
we're back, folks. And when I was a boy, Charles Lindbergh was very much still alive. I wish I'd had the brains when I was at college age to look him up and go meet that great man. Anyway, I didn't. Let me just round out a couple more key elements of this, then we'll go to some callers. We've got Frank in Utah holding and Dr. Kelly in California. Just to round out this argument, which you've never heard before, folks, what you heard me say for the last less than 30 minutes, you have never heard anyone say before. Think about that. It hasn't been said before. That's embarrassing because it's obviously true. And there haven't been the people who should have been able to figure this out, whose moral responsibility it was to figure out the truth of what I just said, didn't do it. Let me put a couple more points on it that round out the statement. It's all in there. This could be expanded into hours, books, you know, seminars. Let me make some more connections. I took some notes here. I made the parallel between Trump and Lindbergh. Lindbergh had the formula for success with white America. That's why he was the most popular man in America in the 1930s, which was white America. It was a country that was 90% white. The Trump has the same formula down. Let me give you the four elements to the formula Trump succeeded with in spite of white nationalism. Not because of white nationalism, in spite of tremendous losses that he incurred because of white nationalism that was damaging his campaign, Trump won on these four principles. Number one, he was pro-white. Secure the border, get our jobs back, make our schools safe. He was pro-us. He was pro-our people. That's the centerpiece of everything about Trumpism. There were three other ingredients, though. The second ingredient, he's not a racist. He's respectful of all races. And even though they call him a racist, it doesn't stick. Why doesn't it stick? Because it's not true. It only sticks on people of whom it's true. He respects all races. That's a winner with white America. White America won't respect somebody who doesn't respect all races. They will not join a cause for anyone else. Thirdly, he respects Jews. And that's obvious. They didn't even try to call Donald Trump an anti-Semite. That was so pathetic. His support of various Jewish things is so obvious that even the left-wing lying media didn't try to launch that. But he's respectful of Jews, and everybody knows that, especially the people of Israel who love Donald Trump. And the third thing is he hates Hitler. He despises Hitler. He despises National Socialism and the Third Reich. And in that, he shares the belief of 99.9, 0.8, 0.7% of red-blooded America, of white America. Now, if you don't have those four things down, you don't have the winning formula. You're not going to get 63 million votes. You're not going to become president of the United States. You're not going to become dog catcher in Keokuk. And white nationalism has been selling, we hate Jews. We don't respect other races. We love Hitler, but we're pro-white. Well, that's a losing formula. It's been a loser ever since. It didn't even work within Lincoln Rockwell's own family. It didn't even work with his own wife. Or was it wives? It didn't work with his own kids. He couldn't even sell that idea to his own children. He couldn't even sell that idea to his own lieutenants, one of whom killed him. That's what a total flop that was. And it has continued to be a total flop. And let me tell you this, folks. The prominence of various aspects of white nationalism is not due to any success or to any numbers of any kind. The reason you'll see some white nationalist figure, and I'll just use Lincoln Rockwell as an example because he's dead and because he's gone, okay? So I could talk about him because he's gone, okay? But this applies to others. The reason you will see him on television, you'll see him on the front page or the centerfold of Playboy magazine and the front page of the New York Times is because the left-wing media, CNN, drops everything when they get somebody who makes pro-white look stupid. When they get their hands on somebody like that, they immediately put them on national television. And people stupidly think that's success. Wow, are we a success? We're on national television. No, that's not success, folks. That's total failure. You just were made to look like a monkey on national TV and drove another 100,000 white people away from a pro-white group that never formed. It was prevented from forming for how many years? you know, 59 since White Power and Lincoln Rockwell. But the, what's another point here? I want to try to get it all into, yes. And I'll encapsulate this in one example of people who call themselves white nationalists. I guess they are, okay? Who then went around after Trump's amazing victory in spite of white nationalism. There were some people who said, we won the election. White nationalism won the election. We put Donald Trump in office. Oh, God, talk about delusional. And I'll give the example of Richard Spencer, who at the National Policy Institute meeting, which he now himself calls Heilgate, as in Zig Heil. I forgot the date of that meeting. But Spencer, at that meeting, actually said, we, meaning white nationalists, willed, as in Triumph of the Will, Third Reich movie, we willed Donald Trump's victory. Really. Sorry, Richard. You're 180 degrees off of the truth. Then at that same meeting, he ends his speech with, hail Trump, hail victory. Now, to anybody with even a passing acquaintance with history or German, or hail victory is Sieg Heil. And when you hear somebody say hail victory, he just said Sieg Heil to you. And I won't give you a list of people who in the last year have ended their speeches with hail victory. A number of such people, folks. That is Sieg Heil. The person who says that is saying to you, kind of laughing at you, saying Sieg Heil. And the people who are Hitler worshippers, they get it. They go, hey, look, Sieg Heil. Hey, that's cool. And then the rest of us don't get it. And we're not supposed to get it. And then at the same speech, not only did Richard Spencer say hail victory as he raised his wine glass or whatever was in there. It turns out he's a complete wino, apparently. He then has people that he invited to the event. These were not outsiders. These were not provocateurs yelling Sieg Heil from throughout his audience. And if that's not enough for you, go to the Richard Spencer video, which is on YouTube, where he is at a Yiannopoulos event at a bar in Texas, where he's with six other white nationalists, Sieg Heiling, while they're singing America the Beautiful. That's on YouTube. Anyway, I won't populate this picture with more such examples. But no, Donald Trump was not willed to victory by the 10,000 or so total number of white nationalists in America, whatever the population is. The population has never grown. There's no big surge of white nationalism. There's no growth in numbers. There's no growth in memberships. There is no success. Donald Trump won by following the Lindbergh formula. He won in spite of white nationalism. He won using the program that could have won all along. Simply a big-hearted, inspirational love of our people that does not include the toxic elements of hating other peoples, hating Jews, and loving Hitler. There you've got it, folks. You've never heard all of that said before in one little speech. I don't know if you realize you just heard something new. No one has ever said what I just said. All right, let's go to a phone call. Dr. Kelly in California. I don't know if you want to follow that, but you're up.
Thanks for taking my call. I didn't know I was going to be in the front of the line today, but
go ahead, Dr. Kelly. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to share an observation, and it was sort of a reminiscing thing that during the Trump phenomenon in late 2000, I'd say it probably started, I don't know, late 2015, 2016, I noticed that some of the lumberjacks and miners and fishermen and ranchers and real men have had it with the transformation of America and all these people getting on the trans train. They were done with it. So they made a giant sign, and they had giant letters that said Trump. and they put it probably 40 or 50 feet up on this giant pine tree. And it was really refreshing to see that when traveling down the road, because there were so many libs and Obama mamas, and it was just...
Yeah, so what you're describing, you know, Dr. Kelly, what you're describing, and pardon me for trying to connect it a little bit, just for purposes of continuity, because what I, the little piece I just spoke, really, Dr. Kelly, let me ask you this. I'll come back to your, you know, that wonderful point you make about how it just took off. The Trump phenomenon just took off. But I want to connect it to what I just said. Did you hear all of what I said at the beginning of the show?
Not the very beginning, but I came in about 15 or so after and caught the last
okay.
part of it.
All right. All right. The have you ever heard anybody say what I just said?
Not all in one sentence, but I've been possibly saying it myself because I'm tired of the people making America hate again.
Right.
You know?
Well, I'll tell you what. One of the reasons that I pretty much inhabited a spot at the top of white nationalism for the last 15 years is that I have been looking for a movement, a positive movement, a pro-white movement that was simply a pro-white movement, and I couldn't find it. I couldn't find it, and I didn't get it. The light bulb didn't go off in my head. I just assumed that whatever pro-white movement was out there, that, you know, that's the one you ought to join. That's it. You know, because for me, it was, I want to save my people. I want to help my people. I want my life to have some meaning in nature, you know, that I procreated my own kind and I helped my own kind live and thrive. And so it didn't, this is kind of subtle, folks. It's not something that will hit you right between the eyes right away if you had followed a path that I followed. And also, nobody's written this down or said it. So there's no book out there you could have read. It really, folks, I assure you, it hasn't been written in a book. It hasn't been said in a speech. You haven't heard it on a radio show. The argument that I just made to you. And so I was left not realizing the reason I can't find that pro-white movement is it was prevented from being born. It was stopped in its tracks. Day in, day out, this other version claiming to be pro-white was stopping the kind of movement that Charles Lindbergh would have launched.
You hit it. It was provocateur, not pro-white.
Well, and let me be a little kinder here. All of the people that I know that have been involved in this are good people, and they are sincerely pro-white. So it's really the people I blame the most are not, certainly not the people, just activists, you know, who bought into what they were fed by their leaders, so-called. I really, my indictment is of the people who were smart enough, who should have been able to figure this out and realize that trying to sell Hitler hatred of Jews and hatred of other races was as dead as a doornail, that it was guaranteed to fail. And not only guaranteed, just analytically, they should have been able to perceive that back in 59. When Lincoln Rockwell stepped out of his front door with his corncob pipe and said, you know, Sieg Heil. His former Marine Navy pilot, you know, distinguished Navy pilot. Come on. And what a dope. And what a dopey idea. But if you do this year in and year out through the 50s, through the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, you keep on after from 2000, 2010, you're still doing it. And 2018, you're still pushing the same total failure program. How stupid can you be? And there's these people that I indict who are smart people, and I would say good people, who didn't have the, what's the missing ingredient here? The honesty to say, you know what? I got it wrong. Me and my buddies got it wrong. We ought to admit that and try something that works. But to look at total failure for 59 years and not be honest about it. Now, and here's what happened with the Trump phenomenon, Dr. Kelly. This caught all these guys by total shock, surprise. I remember, when I'm talking with these guys, I'm going, Trump's going to be the next president. They go, oh, no. I had some of them. I had guys, I'm not going to name names here, folks, but it would be pretty embarrassing. I had people say to me, oh, Donald Trump, you know what he is? He's a Jew tool. Yes, he's a Jew tool. Another phrase that I'm not going to say names here, but I had people tell me he's a lickspittle Zionist. They didn't like Donald Trump. Now, these are people that are today saying, I'm Donald Trump's biggest supporter. And I told these people, Donald Trump's got it right. That red, white, and blue, red-blooded Americanism that I was looking for, it was there. Donald Trump embodied it. And I knew that our train, our ship had arrived, Dr. Kelly. I'll continue this thought. Try not to lose it. Come right back after this break.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it. I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Back, folks, and pleased to have Dr. Kelly from California on the show. And Dr. Kelly, let me pick up my train of thought here. And that is this, that Donald Trump, the name of this show, the Trump phenomenon, folks, this is something that's never occurred in our lives before. And it's like the popularity of Charles Lindbergh. It is an awakening of our European people. And people in Europe acknowledge this also. People like Marine Le Pen, the leader of the Front National in France, she has said, Trump is our inspiration. And the Austrians, the Hungarians, the Italians, the Swiss, the British, Nigel Farage appearing on the podium with Donald Trump, they have been set on fire by this appearance of a man who represents white populist thinking, somebody who's a warm-hearted, generous, kind, beautiful man who does not have a hateful bone in his body. And that's obvious to people. That was obvious about Lindbergh. Everybody around Lindbergh, everybody who heard him speak or knew him, they were aware that this was a beautiful man of tremendous mental scope and tremendous creativity. He was a true hero, a true leader. And Donald Trump is precisely such a man. And even you could say, you know, this is not a key parallel, but there are so many interesting parallels, even minor ones, between Donald Trump and Charles Lindbergh. One of them is they both really like pretty women. and it kind of got them both in some trouble. I won't go into the details on that, but Lindbergh really shared that with Donald Trump. And, there you go. You know, that is what it is. But the greatness of the men certainly transcends that, their involvement with, you know, several different women. And both men, very good to every woman with whom they ever had anything to do. All the women in Lindbergh's life, and some of you may not know this out in the audience there, that Lindbergh actually had a love life in Europe in addition to his love life here in America with Anne Morrow, his wife. And he had children in Europe. But everybody, all those women for both men and all the children produced by all those liaisons, all loved the man, whether Trump or Lindbergh. They all said he was a tremendous father, a tremendously good man. And his only sin was he really likes beautiful white women. Anyway, so there you go, Dr. Kelly. Let me turn the microphone back over to you. You were saying.
That's great. I want to comment on your comments. I have called one of my uncles the father of many nations, and I would like to be like Moses and Noah and educated and, you know, learned in all things of Egypt so that I can support the people with it. And I spoke to a gentleman who's a great patriot and has started a constitutionalist networking initiative.
Well, now, hold that thought. Hold that thought. We got some music coming up here. Dr. Kelly, we'll be right back, folks.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front?
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a-goin' dry.
is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me.